Ephesians chapter 5. I do say one funny thing. Does anybody remember the story of the other day where I thought I had locked myself in here with a burglar? Anybody remember when I came in here and I realized that the alarm was silent, but it was still going off, that there was an intruder in here, and the police had already been, and I decided to come on in, and I was about halfway down the hall, and then I realized I may be in here with a murderer. Anybody remember me telling that story? Some of you, if you listened, you would have heard it. And then I started doing the Scooby-Doo walk. You know, I'm tiptoeing through the thing. Well, anyway, it really impressed some of our volunteer staff because they now like Glenda, if she comes in the building, she calls me first. She calls me because she didn't want to scare me. She'll see my car. It's just me because she knows I'm going to throw a stapler at her or something like that. And anybody scared of Brother Glaspie? How many of you think you could beat him with a feather? Anyway, he opens the door and he jingles his key. If you've noticed a lot of scratches on the front door, that's him. And he jingles his keys. Then he opens the door real wide like it's Christmas. Buster! It's me! Which, again, that gives me more of a heart attack than if he just opened the door and walked in. So he opens the door and anyway, yells. And part of that is because the other day he came in, opened the door, somebody walked in. They walked in that door, walked in that door, got in my office and went, "Hey, Pastor," with my back to him. And I jumped and I threw my mouse in the air. I knocked over my coffee. And so, it's okay. And it was fine. But anyways, if you want to have some fun with me, you see my car here. Just understand I'm a little jumpy and I have a stapler. And I'm not afraid to use it. How many of you feel better now? So that's the end of that story. So except for the lady who lives next door who has a Dalmatian. There's a lady who lives next door, Dalmatian. You've seen her walking up and down the road and all. She walks up by your house, Melissa. Anyway, she comes through here and she comes through the gate. She's got her route mapped out, and so she comes back here, and every time she does, I think I'm losing my mind because I'm studying God's Word, and all of a sudden I see a thin lady with a large Dalmatian you could ride, and I don't know, and at first I didn't know who she was. I thought I was hallucinating, so I went out and tried to wave at her like, you know, who are you, what are you doing, why are you here, and she just waved back, so it's okay apparently. So if your life is dull and boring, come hang out with me. Somebody help Doreen. Okay. Good deal. You feeling a little better? Open your Bibles, Ephesians 5. Stand with me one more time. Ephesians chapter 5. Read these verses. Be not drunk with wine, where is dissipation or excess. Don't be controlled with alcohol, but be controlled. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. He is working out, it's not a four-step, but a four-fold idea here. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want to talk to you about a faithful family, and I want to help you. I've been just entitled this. I have some questions. I want to try and give you some answers. What does it mean? What does the Bible say about family? What does the Bible say about being single or being married or almost married or married again or raising kids or being a kid? What does the Bible say about that? And I want to help us, okay? They're recording the service, video and everything. Pray with me one last time. Father, in our time together, speak to hearts. May we listen honestly and obey the Word of God. And we need you this morning. Spirit of God, use me and fill me. I pray may what is said go out with power. And I pray, Lord, that it will find good soil and folks would respond. I ask all this in Jesus' wonderful name, and amen. You can be seated. We will have slides. You can look at the back of your program. You can take a few notes. We'll put this back online. I'll try and put my notes as well on there with you. But I want to help you. We're really, next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to talk about the family. We're going to talk about the family and talk about the different iterations of the family and wherever that is. Let me help you. If we're not real careful, we talk about the family as a couple of people who have a couple of average kids and an average mortgage and take average vacations, and life is simple. Nod your head if you've ever gotten that vibe from people, that nobody has any problems or anything like that, and that you're abnormal if you have problems. Anybody ever felt that way? Anybody felt that way? Somebody going, nope, I know everybody's abnormal. I'm okay with that. If we're not real careful in church speak, we'll exclude everybody who's single. We'll exclude folks who are widowed or widowers. We'll exclude folks who are in their 20s who aren't married because they have some kind of disease. And we'll exclude people in their 30s who aren't married because there's something really wrong with them. Right? And if we're not real careful, that's how we start talking and treating each other. Nod your head, all you single folks in here. Amen. 25 getting married. If I had one person trying to fix me up, I had a million. I had people trying to fix me up after I got married. And I don't know what that means. Anyway, I don't think they thought it would take. And we're here. If we're not real careful, we treat folks who've been married again like lepers. Like lepers. And or we treat folks whose marriage didn't work out like, kind of thing. If we're not real careful. Now, by the way, you start reading the Genesis and you start looking at very real families who have very real problems, who have very real issues, who make all kinds of horrible mistakes and horrible decisions, and quite a few of them sin. You have folks who have good kids and bad kids. You have folks who don't have any kids. You have a guy in the ministry, Eli, who raises two sons who are just awful people. And they serve in ministry till they're found out. And so the Bible is a very honest book. The Bible is not the problem with this kind of stuff. The problem is us. The problem is us. We talk about things like a sitcom, like a 30-minute program or whatever it is, 22-minute program. That's what we talk about, right? That everything, you should have an awful situation that should all be resolved in 22 minutes. How many of you'd love for something to happen and to finish in 22 minutes? Anybody besides the preacher? Anybody, you've ever had something that, you know, went on a little while? You ever had the, we'll talk about it later? And you're like, I don't want to talk about it later. You ever had the person who just ignores things? You know, you have a great big gashing, gaping wound. Oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. You're bleeding all over the floor. We'll get a bounty. We'll be okay. If you're not real careful, Hill, right? If you're not real careful. I have a few questions, and I want to set the stage a little bit here. And Here, just 26 years of ministry talking. Is that okay with everybody? Here's a question. Here's a question I've got. Is it supposed to be easy? Is it supposed to be easy? Isn't family supposed to be easy? Because, you know, in Sunday school, it seemed like it was easy. Or everybody comes here and everybody looks nice, right? Right? And of all days, wear cufflinks, you know. And everybody look nice? So why are you wearing cufflinks? I can finally fit in this shirt. Praise the Lord. And not have a button like it's about to explode here. It's supposed to be easy, you know. Or here's the flip of that. I ask Christ to save me from my sins. I go to church. Shouldn't life be easier? Shouldn't life be easier? Fair question. Is it supposed to be so hard? It's supposed to be so hard. My husband, my wife, my children, my in-laws, my outlaws, my job. I have seen, and I have honor's permission. I have seen my wife talk menacingly to an ice maker. Not because she was mad at the ice maker, because it was either the ice maker, or she was coming after me. How many of you are glad she chose the ice maker? Amen. Amen. I've pulled up behind people going to church who were animated. I don't know who was driving. I don't know how they were driving. Everybody's got their hands there. Everybody's turned around. Everybody's driving fast. And they pull in, they get out of the car, and they see the priest. They go, hello, pastor. And I go, hello, phony. you shouldn't act this way. You shouldn't be able to turn your emotions on a dime. Is it supposed to be so hard? Supposed to be so hard. And it's supposed to last. It's supposed to last. Got married forever. Supposed to do this. Isn't this supposed to be how it's supposed to work? I want to be the 30-year person. I want to be the 40-year person. I want to be this. It's supposed to last. I went to church last month. I went to church last year. And shouldn't that be enough? It's supposed to last. By the way, how many of you know, folks, maybe it was your occasion where everything was a total, it was on fire, it was a nuclear disaster, and you go, well, I'll give God a chance right before it's all over. And you give God two services, and you know, you don't feel like anything happens, so you just keep letting it all blow to pieces. And it's supposed to last. Is it supposed to hurt? How many of you think hanging out with people invites a little hurt? I mean, I think some people are just bulls, not in China shop, but the bulls in the children's ward. They just don't have a clue. I mean, I think some folks get offended, you know, because you're breathing. And you can learn to live with hurt, or you can get a callus on your heart to hurt, or you can just decide to go on the offensive, right? Well, I'll hurt them before they hurt me. Those are fun people, by the way, aren't they? There are some people, how you doing? You look stupid. Okay, good. And, you know, I think I ran into one of those people yesterday, by the way. Jerry, and at the meeting. Yeah, is it supposed to hurt? If we're not real careful, we read the books, we read the historical romance novels, we get the stuff from Lifeway, we watch the little Lifetime shows, not Lifetime, Hallmark shows. Lifetime's probably not a good channel. Hallmark shows, you know, and everybody's happy, you know, and no matter what the odds, everybody gets together, and that's just not how it is it? Some of you say, you know what, preacher, you can talk about the family. You do this in the spring, in the fall, and you're going to talk about the family, but that's okay because I'm exempt because I didn't have a good example. I didn't have a good example. Mom and dad, stepmom, stepdad, grandma and grandpa, they weren't very good people. They weren't a good example. So I'm off the hook. I'm off the hook because I didn't have a good example. I'm going to walk you through some of the worst examples in Scripture ever. And yet, their children turned out fine. Did well. You're going to look at some people who just really, royally messed up. And did well. Let me help you. Solomon. 700 wives, 300 substitutes. End of his life, figures out wisdom. There is a ton of collateral damage in that man's life. And it's going to end sad, but it isn't okay because he finally figures out what's important. He just figures it out years and years and years too late when the evil days have come and it's very hard in life. It's not that you had a good example. You're on the hook for you. You're not on the hook for them. Some of you say, well, this doesn't matter because I'm not in a relationship now. Give me a little time out. You're somebody's son, you're somebody's daughter. You're somebody's sister and somebody's brother. And I'm the only child. You're somebody's niece, somebody's nephew. And let me go a little further. What difference is it going to make? What difference does it make you say, well, I'm not going to work on my relationship skills now, and I'll just turn it on. You know, I get in a relationship in 2 months. Or I decide to do this in 2 months. No. You need to be understanding what the Bible says now. Now is the time to get aligned with what Scripture says. Now is the time. You don't all of a sudden get married or get in a relationship and all of a sudden become a different person. You just become more the person that you are. Somebody say amen to that, by the way. It is. Man, stress and pressure and relationships and children, they just magnify and amplify all the problems and all the difficulties that you have. Anybody you ever got real stressed and all of a sudden you said, well, that's just not like me. Anybody ever do something like, oh, that's not like me. Let me help you. That's exactly like you. Exactly like you. I don't know where all that toothpaste came from because you squeezed it so hard it went. Bleak. Anybody ever get upset and you give the best speech you'll ever regret? How many of you just completely eloquent? Wow, what did I say? You go, well, I don't know why my children's acting like that because that's the real them. That's the real them. So say, I got all these questions. Here's the big one. Here's a big statement. I just want to be happy. How many of you think happiness is a good idea? How many of you think not another human being on this planet can make you happy? If they can make you happy, they can take it away. How many of you think happiness is a lot like ice cream, long as you got it, but it melts kind of quick and goes away pretty fast? I don't really want happiness. I think I'm going to need to choose joy. Choose joy. That's what the Bible says. And that way I have joy, a baseline, because some days I'm up and some days I'm down, but I can be consistent there because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. I just want to be happy. Here's a big one. I said it a little bit earlier. Big one. My parents were not good people. My parents were not good people. And we'll be in the Scripture, I promise. My parents are not good people. I talk to teenagers. You know, this is this and this. Let me be just as honest. I know how to be with you. If your mom or dad or stepmom or stepdad didn't love Jesus, didn't act like they loved you, I'm as sorry as I know how to be. I'm going to talk about how to respond to that in the weeks ahead. But you're greater than your past. God's grace is greater than your past. And God's grace is greater than any baggage you bring to the current reality. And if you had wonderful parents, or parents that, man, you just don't even want to talk about, I got news for you. God's grace is greater than your past. It's greater than your past. Let me remind you, by the way, you are not your past. Some of Somebody says, well, you just hadn't walked in my shoes. Had a guy sit in my office since I've been here, Riley bumped both those thermostats up just 1 degree. I don't know what's going on. They're not cutting off. You have not walked in my shoes. He sat in my office. He picked up my stuff. He threw it on the floor. And he said, you don't understand. You hadn't walked in my shoes. And I said, I don't have to walk in your shoes. You've walked in your shoes. You're the one needs grace. You're the one needs to listen to the scripture. You're the one needs God's help. Somebody say amen to that, by the way. Just because I haven't lived like you live doesn't mean that the Bible doesn't apply to where you are. We make all these kind of things, all these kind of excuses. See, you got a lot of choices. You can be selfish. You can be spiritual. You can be satisfied. And by the way, these all are not contrasting choices. Well, if I want to be happy, then that's being selfish. And you got the martyrs. This is typically women. You'd be a martyr. Well, I'll never know happiness, fulfillment. My life will be loading and unloading the dishwasher and finding where the jelly went. Work all day, come home, et cetera, et cetera. Or selfish. Well, she's looking out for her. She's selfish. She's selfish. You can be spiritual. Spiritual in this situation means, spiritual means unhappy. Well, I can't have joy from God because I got to go to church. I got to do this. I got to. And nobody thinks that way. Baloney. Or satisfied. This is the horizontal thing. Well, at least it's not as bad as Brother Weiniger. Well, Andrew, you could be married to Joseph. There's like 8 Josephs in here. You could be married to any of the Josephs. And in here, 16 Johns and 8 Josephs in here. Some of you are going, it's the other one. But I've heard guys say that. Well, you could be married to your old boyfriend. just get happy with your level of misery. How many of you think that's all there is in life? We're in tough shape. Somebody nod. Somebody be real honest with me here. By the way, how many of you have heard some of those, most of those, all of those that I put on the screen there? So what does the Bible say? I'm going to give you the foundation. I'm going to give you the secret in 3 weeks. We're going to talk a little bit about mothers. I'm going to really talk about the things that attack our families and relationships. I'm going to get really just as brutal as I know how to be about sexual sin with us and the things that attack us. You want to hold on your hat. We're going to get where we live, okay? Get where we live. I got about 12 minutes here. I'm going to finish up. I'm right on time. Look right here. The Bible says here, this is what he says. This is the foundation. Say, I want to be in a right relationship. I want to do this. He says, starts off, he says, you need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Say, preacher, have you mentioned this before? I come back to this idea about every 6 months. You know why? Because we absolutely need this idea. This is a foundational idea for relationships. In the midst of all this, husband, wife, children, and fathers, employer, employee, Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6, Paul says on the inspiration of the Spirit of God, this is what you need. This is what you need. It says you need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Look at verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or dissipation, but be being filled with the Spirit of God. Be being filled with the Spirit of God. In our church world, we've kind of messed that up. Somebody talking about being filled with the Spirit, and they talk about some ecstatic utterance. He's talking about falling on the floor or barking like a dog, or if you're from Canada, having the laughing revival. And that's not at all what he's talking about here. He's using a comparative word here. He says, you know the way that when you drink alcohol, it controls you? Don't do that. Don't do that. Instead, be controlled, be brought under the power of God's Holy Spirit. Be controlled by Him. Be controlled by Him. How many of you think that sounds like a good idea? Nod your head, wave at me. How many of you think, man, okay, preacher, if that's what we're supposed to do, how am I supposed to do that? In a parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he says what? He says, let the word of God dwell richly in you in all wisdom, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. In his letter to Colossae, he talks about you being filled with, or he talks about letting God's word be at home in your life. And here he says, being filled with the Spirit. He's using the same idea. See, for me to be filled with the Spirit, for you to be filled or controlled by the Spirit of God, means that I am allowing the Word of God. I'm allowing the Word of God to help me act like if the Son of God was right here? Let it be at home in your heart and your life. Say, prove that to me. I can with the Apostle Peter. Some of you have been here for our Wednesday night study. Remember me bringing this out. See, when Peter was in the presence of Christ, he said the miraculous. See, what do you mean? Peter asked him, says, who do men say that I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the risen God, Son of the living God. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. When he was in the presence of Christ, he said the miraculous. When Peter was in the presence of Christ, he did the miraculous. Jesus bid them all come. He's walking on the water there in the midst of the awful storm. He bids them to come, and only one gets out of the boat and walks over to him. That's Simon Peter. And Simon Peter does the miraculous in the presence of Christ. Simon Peter is miraculously bold. They're there in the garden. The soldiers, the 2,000 soldiers, give or take, come. I can't remember the name. They come, and Peter does what? He pulls out his little sword, and he aims for the guy's neck. He's going to kill him. He misses. He hits his ear, and Jesus picks it back up and heals him, saving Peter's life, by the way. Wait for it. And he, in the presence of Christ, is miraculously bold. Why? Because he was about to die. Said the miraculous, did the miraculous, miraculously bold. That's Peter in the presence of Christ. Jesus ascends. The Holy Spirit is manifest in his power the day of Pentecost. Where do we find Peter? Peter does what? Peter is saying the miraculous. The unlearned, ignorant fisherman stands on the day of Pentecost and does what? He preaches and he says, this same Jesus whom you have crucified, I declare to you, he is the Messiah, and 3,000 are saved. Just like if he was in the presence of Christ. Peter does the miraculous. See, what do you mean? He tells him to take up your bed and walk. He talks to the blind man's eyes, and the blind receive their sight. He does the same miracles, actually does more miracles with Christ ascended than he did with Christ here. And God, through his power, does that in his life. He's miraculous. He's bold. He stands in front of the ruler and says, you tell it to me whether we ought to obey God or man. I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God. I need God's Word. I need to hear God's Word. I need to listen to God's Word. I need to obey God's Word. How do I know if I'm being controlled by the Spirit of God? Because I'm going to act just like I would if Jesus were here. My mom and dad, we'd go spend the night. Does anybody ever spend the night in anybody's house anymore? Spend the night, children? Some of you adults going, I do. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. My mom and dad, you say something, terrify me. They'd say it in different order. Different order, Phoenix. They'd say it like this. They'd either say, I'm going to ask how you were tomorrow. That was bad. Or they'd say this. And this one usually terrified me, Mike. Remember who you belong to. I hear it coming out of my mouth now, and I get a little scared. Remember who you belong to. Remember who you belong to. I was speaking at a big deal some years ago, And my mom was in attendance, and there was 1,000 people there. And my mom, she thought she was being comforting. And she grabbed me, and she kissed me, you know, and then I had to get it all off. And she says, remember who you belong to. And I'm like, okie dokie. Yeah. So I just forgot everything I said. I was thinking, and all. I act differently. I act differently thinking that way. By the way, we do the same thing to our children. Remember who you belong to? I'm going to ask. When they were younger, I went, I'll know. They didn't know I wasn't all-seeing and all-knowing. And I don't know. You act differently. You would act differently. Hey, you want to help your relationship? You start remembering, those of you who are Christian, you remember. You start living and asking God to help you. Lord, let me live just like you're right here. You wouldn't be smart, ugly, and sarcastic. You wouldn't use ugly words and profanity if Jesus was right there. You wouldn't watch that mess on TV. You wouldn't listen to that garbage that's going on. You wouldn't talk about your spouse behind their back. You wouldn't be mouthy to your friends on Snapchat about your parents if Jesus was right there. Let me help you. Jesus is right there. Jesus is omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is right there convicting your heart and convincing you of your sin and to live this way. That's why you hear me pray, God, fill me, control me. May what I say please you, because I put God's word in and it's helping me live and act just like Jesus were here. Well, you want to be controlled by you want to have a great relationship? Be controlled by the Spirit of God. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. How many of you think that changed your house? Change your relationship, change your vertical, your horizontal relationship. How many of you think that make a difference? make a difference. He says, be controlled. Be constantly controlled by the Spirit of God. Be constantly controlled by the Spirit of God. I didn't know I didn't have that slide up there. Be filled with the Spirit to live like I'm in the presence of Christ. See, I think it means this. It means that we can have a good discussion another time over a great cup of coffee. I'm telling you what it at least means. It's not the freaks of the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. See, I probably don't have relationship issues because of the person. I got relationship issues because of my personal relationship with Christ and my relationship to His Word. To be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. Be filled with Him. And he says to sing. Sing. You still with me? I got 5 minutes. Still with me? Say amen. Look at verse 19. Speaking yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a quality here. There's a quality here that we don't see too many times, and that is this wonderful quality of the music. A worshiping life, a praising life. Say, I'm not much of a singer. Again, I don't think he's talking about the quality of music, the quantity of music or the characteristic. He's talking about music that honors and uplifts God. It honors and uplifts God. Man, I love it. I'll go into some of these places here that have Christian owners, and they're playing the Christian music and all. We got a burger last night because we've been matching it, and we're out of cereal. How many of you believe that? Amen. And we're out of cereal at the house, so it's burgers now. And if we had oatmeal, we'd eaten that. Praise the Lord. And Andrea's coming home and bringing the daughter. Hallelujah. And we'll have some real food again. But anyway, until then, the cereal's gone. And I'm mad at Riley because he ate the cereal, then put the container back in there empty. And I'm going to get you later for that because I looked at it this morning. Some of you think I'm exaggerating. I'm telling the truth. And we got a burger man walked in there and they're playing some song. And man, I didn't catch all of it. I'm talking about, geez, man, that excited me. Instead of this and that and the other, man, what if there was praise coming out of your radio and your MP3 player and your Apple, your iOS and your Android device? What if, man, as you were listening, it just came into your heart? You listen to angry, awful, rotten music. I got news for you. It'd change your mood. It'd change your mood. You listen to music, man, all about messing around and cheating on somebody else and all. It's hysterical to me. People listen to Taylor Swift get relationship advice. I think that's the last woman you ought to be getting relationship advice from. They're just singing. Say, I don't like to sing. Whistle. I like to whistle. Hum. I don't like to do anything. Get a comb and go boom, 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 boom. I don't care what you do. This is a natural thing. This is a natural thing in a spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life, that there ought to be something that is there brimming up and brewing over. He says, be thankful. Speaking yourselves, psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Now, let me help you here. Somebody who's taking in God's Word and trying to live according to God's Word and wanting God to control their actions and reactions, how many of you think that'll help a relationship? Say amen. How many of you think you want to live around people who act that way? Say, I want my child to be different. Get their nose in a Bible. Get Steve Green's songs, scripture songs. Play them when I go to bed. Let them wake up in the morning having learned a couple of verses overnight. Stick some Veggie Tales in there. Let them learn the Bible principles here. We use the Bible as like heart surgery instead of using it like a great balanced diet, and like regular exercise. This is a last-ditch thing to repair what's all to pieces. And God says, no, that's not how it's supposed to be. This is the foundation. Then he says, singing. This ought to be there. It ought to be something in our hearts and our lives. Then he says, be thankful. Be thankful. Speaking, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every now and then I'll have somebody be real snippy with it. And he said, you say the blessing over your food. Did it change your food? If I put poison in your food and you pray, will it change the poison? Smart aleck preacher wants to say, I don't know. You eat it first. Some of you don't believe I'm this way. I'm a little more this way than I want to admit. And I go, I don't pray for God's protection over my food. I got enough sense. Say, God, thank you for what I'm about to eat. and it's good training. God, thank you. We've brought in the blessing. I don't know where we got that idea. Jesus blessed the food. He really is giving thanks. Mark says it differently than Matthew does. He's giving thanks. Pity the poor person who can't thank God for his daily food. By the way, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You want to change the culture at your house, culture and relationships. You want to get your heart ready for your next relationship. You want. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for working. Thank you for doing the laundry. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing that. There'll be three phrases that are pretty easy. Thank you, I'm sorry, and I love you. That'll be three easy phrases in your relationships. Thank you, I love you, and I'm sorry. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I annoy saying thank you too. It's not because I'm real thankful, because I work real hard to try and be thankful. Because I've seen when people take other people for granted, it isn't pretty. Somebody gets used to somebody doing something, and they get grumbly, mumbly, complaining, and they sit there and they get madder and madder and more bitter and more bitter, and all of a sudden people have been married 15, 20 years, and they split up, and you go, what was the deal? The deal was at year 5, they quit being thankful for each other. It just took them 15 years to get the guts to leave each other. Mad and awful. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You let your kid get up from the table and don't say thank you, that's on you. You sit down and you tell your family thank you for the food. Thank you for this. Thank you for doing it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Cultivate that heart of thankfulness. Our world is plagued by people who are ungrateful and ingrateful and hostile and think everybody owes them everything and everybody's responsible for their happiness, and that is not scriptural. Scripture says, I am to be grateful first of all to God, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, a heart that is full and thankful for God saving me from my sins and changing my awful rotten life and preparing a home for me in heaven and giving me His Holy Spirit, that person's pretty a lot easier to live with. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. And being thankful. There's a last one. I'm done. Be submissive. Submitting yourselves one another in the fear of the Lord. This is very much misunderstood. We're going to spend a whole sermon on this in days to come. Between the women's movement and the men's movement and Hollywood and everybody, I don't know if anybody gets this. It's a fairly simple idea. It's a military word. It's got some cosins here. It's got the suffix hupa in it. Hupatasso. It just means to get in line, get in order. Know where you rank is. A general is a general. A sergeant's a sergeant. Doesn't mean anybody's worth any less. Just means they got different responsibilities. The guy running the gun is different than the guy driving the vehicle, driving the Humvee. The pilot in the front of the plane is different than the guy who's dropping the tube out and doing the refueling. They're different. Different. Dad, you're going to give an account to God what kind of husband you are. Mom, you're going to give an account what kind of wife you are. Figure out whose job is whose. Let them do their job, and you do your job, and you each submit to the other in the fear of the Lord, and you honor God that way. How many women have to be the spiritual leader in a home because the husband won't step up and do what he's supposed to do? And it grieves them. Grieves them. How many men come home and flick on a TV and figure everything is going to handle itself and leave all the spiritual training to somebody else who is already exhausted? Then they cut the TV off at 10 o'clock and they expect the wife to turn into Matahari in the bedroom, and they've not lifted one finger. And there is no submission there. There is no, why I'm interested in your needs and what's going on in your life, and I'm interested in your needs and your life. There's no submitting of our passions, no submitting of our desires, no submitting of our hearts to each other, and it's just constantly warring to see who will win instead of I want you to win and I want you to win. That's a whole different home, isn't it? I want you to win. I want you to win. I want you to succeed. I want you to be the best husband. I want you to be the best wife. I want you to be the best child you can be. I want you to do this. See, when you're being thankful and you're being submissive and when you're controlled by the Spirit of God because you've got the Word of God obedient and you're obeying the Word of God in your heart, and then there is praise coming out of you. All of a sudden, it changes the whole dynamic of relationship, doesn't it? That's the kind of person I want to be around. That's the kind of person I want to be. See, I got all these questions, preacher. I got some answers for you. It's where you start. If you're not having a daily quiet time with the Lord, start today. Start today. If you got a spirit of bitterness and ingratitude, you start today. God, forgive me. That's a sin. Help me be thankful. You want to change the whole culture of your home? Go home and get you out a sheet of paper. Go home and take your phone out and do something constructive. But type you up about 100 things you're thankful for about that other person. It won't change them. It'll change you. Quit rewarding your children for being grumpy and ungrateful. Ingrateful. Now, this is a house of gratitude. We're thankful to God. By the way, all ingratitude is vertical before it's horizontal. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Put on some good Christian music. Find you one of these good stations around here. Man, let that just dwell in you. Get on iTunes. Spend 10, 15 bucks. Get your Spotify account. Just let it roll through you. Then be submissive. I know my rank. I know my place. I'm not inferior. This is just my job. And that's your job. You do your job. I'll do mine. We'll submit to each other. We'll submit to each other in the fear of the Lord. So that makes me inferior. No, that makes you obedient. I will answer for things my wife doesn't have to answer for. That terrifies me. See, when I don't do that, I get out from under the protection that God has for me. By the way, and I do all this to the Lord. Say, is it supposed to be hard? Is it supposed to be this? Is it supposed to be that? We're going to explore those. I can tell you what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be spirit-filled, and you're supposed to be singing. You're supposed to be saying thanks, and you're supposed to be submissive. And until you get those four clear in your mind, you're going to have a lot more questions than answers. Obey what God's told you. Say, I want to change my family, change my relationship, change my past, change my future. Start there. Start there. Start there. Pray with me right now. Father, we love you. I thank you for loving us. Lord, what a powerful passage. And we're going to expand on it. And we're going to talk about more things. We're going to explore these questions. But right now, Father, we need some folks who will say the truth. They may be here and they've never asked you to run their life. And never even thought about opening a day with the Scripture and prayer. And never thought about what does it mean to put their desires and their tongue, their speech, their thumbs and the texting and never thought about what it meant to give their eyes and what they watch to you. There's some couples here, Lord, who need to come, kneel and pray. They want to have a Christian home, biblical home. There's some folks that are here and they need to come and say, Lord, problem's not everybody else, problem's me. And I want to be controlled by your Spirit. I want to be thankful. I want to be praising and singing in my heart. I want to be submissive to the Scripture and submissive. I want to find my role and fulfill it. Lord, there's some folks that are here, Lord, if they die like they are, they're going to spend an eternity in an awful, terrible place apart from you. And their sin has separated them from you. God, would you speak to them today? Would you draw them to you right now? Would you help them get over, Lord, the size of the room or their insecurities? And Lord, that right now, that the only thing that matters is to be clean. And Lord, may they repent. May they turn from their sins and turn to you in loving faith. Would they ask you to be their Lord and Savior? And would you change their life? You've promised that you would if they would call on your name. And I pray that they would this morning. Would you help us? There's some folks that are here, Lord, struggling struggling with situations and family situations, and their heart is grieved. So families in our church, Lord, to have such needs, would you help them? Would you help them today? Our heads are bowed just for a moment. You say, Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? Would you pray with me? Nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to call on you. Nobody's going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me in my situation? Pray for us in our situation. Whatever it is, would you pray for me this morning? Would you slip your hand up with mine? Thank you. Thank you. A lot of hands. Thank you. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for us? Pray for me. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, boy. Would you pray for me? Not with my hands up. I'm 21 years in. I'm terrified of tripping. I wouldn't hurt my family for the world. But I watch a lot of guys be married a lot longer than me make a mess when they should have had things a little more figured out. God, would you help me? Would you help me? Maybe you're here and you said, well, I've never asked God to control me. I've never learned what it is to daily say, Lord, be my boss, be my master. Help me to live just like you're standing right here beside me. See, you go home today a different dad. You could go home today a different husband. You go home today a different man, a different lady, a different mom, different wife. You go home today different and single again, wherever you find yourself. God's speaking to your heart. I want to invite you to come. If you need to come and ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, somebody will take a Bible and show you how your need can be met. You can do that this morning. Would you stand? And we all stand at our church.